I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Merry Christmas and welcome to the Yellow Block podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network. Since we last recorded, we've played once, won once, with yet another clean sheet. This is becoming quite the habit. Joining me this evening to discuss that, I've got Mr. Jared Farmer. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
I've also got Mr. Dan Topnut Weldon from, I would say Sunny Bolton, but we know it's not.
Good evening.
I'm delighted to welcome back Harry as well, another stellar loan signing. Hello, sir.
Hello, hello. Good evening.
How are we all doing?
Yeah, I'll start off very well, very well. Not too bad.
Good. I'm glad you started off, Jared, because I need to ask quite why you are sat next to a Hoover. Is it date night with the Dyson?
No, it's a charging station where it just stands on like a little rocket.
Oh.
But true story, I did empty it before because it looked really rough.
Right. I mean, it doesn't look that much better. I'm not going to lie. Your backdrop is literally Wilco's sort of knockoff Christmas tree and a Hoover.
That is correct. But at least I've not got a fence for a door.
Yeah, very true. Dan, when I said, are we all good? You pulled a face. I mean, it wouldn't be Dan if he wasn't upset about something, right? But how's life in the Northwest?
Has he paused? Or,
I know. He's pretending to freeze. Is he there? No, the now hell? He's dropped his headphones. What's happening here? It's your knockoff Christmas tree.
Apologies, there was a God almighty bang.
You've been robbed. No idea whether...
Well, I don't know. Possibly.
Could make for quite an entertaining episode, though.
Someone's well, it could, yeah.
Robbing your house. No, I was just saying, when I said, are we all good, you pulled a face. Now, we wouldn't expect any different from you, but what's up?
Well, it's just the silence, isn't it? Well, I mean, there's obviously a well-known fact that I'm the depressive person on the pod. Numerous people have asked if I am seeking help for my disposition and... No, I'm glad the viewers are worried about me, but for now, we'll just say I'm fine.
Tis the season, Dan. Harry, how are you doing, sir?
I'm well. I'm on the back the back end of a chesty cough, but I'm pretty much fine now. But yeah,
that, like everybody's
winter bugs. Not COVID. Didn't test. Not COVID. But yeah,
you did do a test. Yeah, it feels like everyone's got that kind of chesty cough going on at the minute, but. Never mind, as long as it's gone and it's cleared up by Christmas, which is this time next week, which leads me nicely, Jared, have you done your Christmas shopping yet?
For children, yes. My children, Jesus. Not for my wife, no.
Well, luckily, I've been doing some groundwork here. And when I say I mean producer Danny. And I've got some stellar Christmas presents for you from other football teams' ranges here. I'm just going to share my screen. I appreciate this is a podcast, but we will describe this as we going along. And starting off quite strong, I feel. Hopefully, you fellas can see this. These are Man United Clippers. So it's a pair of Remington Clippers there with a Man United crest on. Jared, if you think Chloe would be interested in that in any way.
No, I don't think so.
No, okay, moving swiftly on then to number two, which obviously...
You changed Remington to Regulon.
Regular, like we did there. How about this,
that's
Joe? This
might said at first. I thought it was a player branded.
That would be, I mean, that would be taking it even, that would be extra effort, to be fair. What about these, Farmer? Some Chelsea dog pyjamas?
I thought that was a bib for a baby.
No, it's for your dog.
All right. I was about to say, yes, I'd have that. I'd get used out of it. I don't have a dog, so no, we'll pass.
Okay. Now, how about this? This is one of my favourites. This is a West Ham Lego Santa. And just for those of you that are listening, all I can really describe here is it's essentially a Lego Santa. And to be fair, it looks quite complex. But the only way it's in any way branded to West Ham is it literally says West Ham on the top. And then there's a tiny little crest that isn't even part of the Santa. I'm not quite sure how they've managed to pull
that.
He's
got a heavy sack, isn't he?
Yeah, does have a heavy sack. And obviously this time next week, he'll be emptying his sack on your kid's floor as well. Moving on, Crystal Palace tape measurer. Who wouldn't want that for Christmas? It's gone out.
Tim, why is it set at 4 inches?
Crystal Palace tape measure. I mean, who wouldn't want it? Chloe would love that, wouldn't she?
Well, yeah, it's on the right setting for me. So, yeah, it'd be all right.
It's on 10 inches, yeah, you wish. 10 inches, yeah. Actually, how tall are you?
6'9".
I'm 6'2", but they're two different measurements. Number five, this is a personal favourite of mine. Bayern Munich fondue set for Christmas.
It's like a bomb kit.
Harry, this is... I mean, I can see your face lit up. I can order you one. I can't guarantee it will be here in time.
I was going to say, this is even less... Bayern Munich than the Santa was West Ham. There was no Claret Blue on that. And this, I can just... Oh, yeah, you're zooming in now for the benefit of the people listening. And I can just about see half of one emblem of Bayern Munich. And that is it. The rest of it just may as well be a normal stove. That also looks a little bit like a, I don't know, a centipede. It's got like little legs.
It does. And yeah, it's a valid point. It's not particularly well branded, but you just know it'll be three times the price of the same fondue set without the branding on. Number six. Now, this is, I like this one, Jared. I feel like this would be right up your street. So this is a AFC Bournemouth Christmas jumper, and it comes in two styles. I've been nice with some cherries, or I've been naughty with some cherries. Jared, is this something that would take your fancy at the worst Christmas, do you think?
That's a combined jumper, though, isn't it?
Yes, but I think the point is that you can... exactly. If you've got, well, I mean, it's quite a niche market, granted.
You'd probably fit me, to be fair. Like, well, no one else in it.
This is what I was thinking, is we could get you that. I feel like that would be a good secret.
It's absolutely hideous. No.
Horrendous, isn't it? A Southampton lip balm. Now, Dan...
How big is it?
Well, that's a personal question. Dan, I know that, you know, you look like a man that knows his way around a moisturiser. Some Saints lip balm, do you think?
I don't know how to take the first comment, but it's not for me, to be honest, Tim. It doesn't look like it's a very reputable brand.
Well, is it? Yeah, so that well-known, cosmetics brand, Southampton FC.
Supposedly Rishi Sunak's favourite club, so maybe he's got one.
Yeah, well, no comment, although hold that thought, because we will be circling back around to politics and posh very shortly. Newcastle United coat hangers. I feel like this is what we all need in our life. And what I like about this one is they are literally just plain black coat hangers. The only branding is on the packaging. There's no branding on the actual coat hanger itself, which I feel like would be a little bit of a... Moving swiftly on, though, to my absolute favourite, and Crystal Palace make a second appearance. This is the last one that will put you out of misery. This is by far my favourite of the Christmas range. Crystal Palace aftershave. And it kind of got me wondering, if Posh were to make an aftershave, what it would smell of, what it would smell like, I should say. So I kind of wondered, Jared, what you suspect it would smell like.
I think it would smell like a tin pot.
I mean, that's not... We're flying, absolutely flying. But it does raise a point, does it not, that our range of products feels quite limited and poor compared to... I want some Posh lip balm. I feel like that's something that we're missing out on as Posh fans now. Harry, you look like somebody that would enjoy a Posh fondue set, maybe a Posh tape measure every now and again when you're doing some DIY.
Absolutely. Every single one. of what you've just shown, posh version. Whatever the aftershave is, it will, of course, be the best in class. It will be the best of all the aftershaves.
News story is in actual football posh stuff rather than talking about what we wish we had in our Christmas stockings. Finally got a resolution to this ownership battle that's been going on. DMAC confirmed as majority shareholder. We kind of confirmed, I guess, what we were probably expecting in that respect. Released a statement to confirm there's still debt. I guess, Harry, if I start with you, this was big news, certainly off the pitch. You feel like this is good or bad for the club?
I think the certainty is good. So we now know that there has been, as per the press release, an agreement on exactly what the figure is, amount of debt outstanding. What that number is, we don't know. We don't know whether it's gone up or down since the last accounts. And the last accounts that we've seen were back from the summer of 2022. So we're, 18 months behind currently, knowing exactly where the debt's at. But it's a good thing that, we were at a point where a few months ago in the transfer window, we were having articles come out which were saying that the club was on the verge of falling apart. We had to sell all our players just to keep afloat. The actual company that the stadium's held in is in administration, so that remains a concern. But at the same time, I think that it's clearly a positive step. All caveated with the fact that we can't know exactly what position the debt's in. And some of the targets that DMAT mentioned over the summer on the commercial side of things, like getting 9 million of revenue, for example, he mentioned that on the spaces that he did with John and I. We've got no idea whether that's been hit or not. We're so far behind in terms of what's publicly available. So it'll be interesting to see in March, which is what, only 3 months away now, whether those targets have been hit. A good thing, definitely.
Certainly feels like it had a positive spin on it. Dan, we as a podcast got wind, should we say, that there was this Athletic article that was due to be published on Friday prior to the statement that came out from Darrow. And so I don't want to say it was a surprise that we got the statement from Darrow. Clearly they knew it was coming as well and wanted to get in there first. I feel like he played it brilliantly in terms of how he pitched the interview, how he pitched the statement and so on and so forth. And it seems to have been received incredibly positively. So I suppose naturally I would look to you for the flip side of that opinion potentially.
Look, it's been played very well. And the first thing they'll teach you in business relations is get ahead of the story, and he did that very well. It's probably changed the attitude of fans to the news and sort of changed the narrative quite a lot in terms of, how we're perceiving all the information that was thrown at us, because it was a lot. It was like six different points all condensed into a, this is, posh going forward. And it's sort of a complete U-turn on what we've had in the last 4 or 5 years, which was, it seemed as if he was, DMAC that is, was sort of slowly trying to phase himself out, prepare for succession and potentially get out of football or at least Peterborough United. And obviously now that tactic hasn't worked, or he's decided to go against it or whatever. I'm not saying any of this is facts. This is purely my opinion. But obviously it seems like he's trying to take control of it now to sort of rescue what potentially could have been a much worse position than we already were, which was obviously, as Harry said, stadium company being in administration, the potential financial stability of the club in question. I think Harry's put it perfectly, to be honest. We're still severely behind where we would want to be in terms of up-to-date information and knowing exactly where the club is, officially and financially, because it's one thing being told something in terms of the health of the club and what's happening backstage, but we all know that, one side of the story is never enough. So, it would be good to potentially hear Jason's side or Randy's side in the coming months and years, but I don't think we'll ever get to that point, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point, Dan, actually, because I do feel like that's been lost a little bit over the last week. The focus has been so much on the positivity and what Darrow has said. that it's almost like people have maybe not necessarily given to consideration to the fact that there will be another side to this story. Obviously, you and I share similar views around the management and the regime that's there at the moment. But do you feel that now we are able to put this to bed as a fan base, or do you feel like there's still questions that maybe need to be answered?
I think there's far too many questions that need to be answered. You know, I don't think many fans are expecting positive news on the new stadium anytime soon. But it would be nice to know where we're at in terms of, you know, a final. Oh, by the way, it's definitely not happening, because, you know, we all know it's not going to happen, let's be honest. But, you know, until we get it in writing from management, we can never be certain. And that's the big thing for me, obviously. You know, it was a change in fortunes for Posh when these investors came in terms of, you know, we were really going to start trying to build the club and, you know, potentially have a bit more backing to be able to do that. I'm not saying that DMAC never had a vision to build the club. Obviously, that's always been his primary goal. And, you know, credit to him for everything he did since he took over. But the whole sort of attitude around the club when these investors came in was, oh, wow, we've really got the backing now. Let's actually make a go of this. And, you know, we changed the youth system. That worked out quite well. We changed, you know, things in the back room. And things looked positive until COVID happened. And then, obviously, you know, things got curtailed and the club lost a lot of money. And I'm not saying that that was anybody's fault. Obviously, it can't be. But it definitely changed the plans. And since then, I just think as a fan base, we've been kept in the lurch a little bit about, you know, the information that's being shared and like I say, the health of the club. And, you know, when just not getting the information that I think we all need, we're just being sort of, you know, shoved off to the side with, well, you have this, this is a snippet that will keep you happy, while we sort of, you know, keep trudging along with the dirt.
Strong words from Dan Jarrod. Is that a viewpoint you agree with?
Yeah, some of it. I think we all know there's a bigger picture happening behind the scenes. But for me, obviously the debt's got to be sorted. So if there's instalment plans in sorting that out, then brilliant. My worry is, I think that relies heavily on, again, this is my opinion, on player sales in regards to the sell on for Ivan Toney, Ronnie Edwards being sold and potentially more. But it's the security of the club is what we all care about, isn't it? So I'm not so interested in gossip, rumours. He said this, she said that. I'm not interested in that. It's more, if we're going forward with Darragh, it looks like it's happening. Let's just make sure the clubs can recover from the mess it is. And it's in a precarious situation, the club. It just is. It's in a dodgy position at the minute. Anyone thinking it isn't, it's just, I know Darragh's going to come out and calm the storm. But there is a storm, that's without a shadow of a doubt. And it is concerning, but hopefully, I've always said, like Dan said, appreciate everything Darragh's done for the club and still does to this day. I think he really does care for it. I'm not one of these ones who are Darragh out necessarily. I do believe I know I said at the start that he was probably trying to get out the club, but I do think he got the Jason and Randy in for a reason. And I still think that reason stands. I think he alluded to that in his Posh Plus interview regarding getting some, you know, fresh faces in regards to shares locally and things like that. Which that may be an option. It might, you know, it might work well. But I think he'll continue to be our main voice. So it's going to be interesting to see how we get through this period, because it's going to last a while, I think.
Yeah, it feels like this saga's gone on a while already, to be fair. Harry, obviously with Spaces, and you'll have quite a good handle on how this news has been playing out, particularly on social media. Where do you think the majority of the fan base is at the moment? Do you think they've kind of lapped up that positivity, or do you think there are still a large voice of those that are quite negative and critical of Darragh?
From what I saw, it was pretty positive. And again, it's the point about a bit more certainty. Dan mentioned the idea that we've been kept in the dark a bit. I'm sympathetic to the fact that there's so many different parties involved, literally across continents. It's very difficult for them to come out and say things that are probably held in, you know, in confidentiality. And also, of course, we've seen evidence that other parties are leaking things to places like The Athletic. And I haven't seen an equivalent of that from Darragh. And I think we should possibly give him credit for that. We've not seen any negative stories about Randy or Jason in the press. Not necessarily would need to be, but and not necessarily them that leaked anything to the Athletic, but clearly some people who were familiar with the details did. Anyway, back to the question at hand. Yeah, fairly positive because of the certainty, which is obviously improved. I guess I'd go back and just say that those who aren't positive, so the people who reached out to me, their points were things like the debt is likely, until player sales come in, just to be serviced with more debt. So we're likely to see Dara borrowing from other parties to then pay off the debts to Randy and Jason. Now, those other parties may well be closer to him. And you can see some of these, they're called debentures on Company's House. They're basically debt agreements on Company's House, where earlier this year, some people who were literally related parties to Dara appeared to put money into the club. We don't know how much the money was, and we don't know how long it was for, the terms of that. But it does look like there's a little bit of it coming in one hand and going out the other. Again, I'm sympathetic to the fact that you can't turn this around overnight, and better to have debt from parties that are closer to Dara than a group of angel investors over in Canada. But that's the other side of the coin that I saw from the few dissenting voices who said this isn't really anything to be excited about yet.
I would say as well, I think it's all important for us to sort of note and acknowledge that football fans in general, and this isn't, you know, a comment on Peterborough fans, it's just a comment on the state of football at the moment. We have a tendency in the modern age to sort of think that we're entitled to all the facts and all the information and everything that happens behind closed doors, because we all, you know, in terms of a passion point of view, we have a stake in the club. And there is, as Harry said, as Jared said, there's a lot that goes on that just, you know, purely by the context of non-disclosure agreements and the like, that we should not and will not be privy to ever, or certainly not, you know, for a period of 5-10 years prior or past it. So there's a lot of information and a lot of facts that we will want to know and would expect to come out in the future that simply aren't. And I think at this point, it's purely just a waiting game until the likes of Dara, Jason and Neil, you know, the parties directly involved with this agreement, or, you know, any future agreements in terms of the remaining shares that the Canadians have and that Dara doesn't, you know, until we actually get a statement from the club, it's all hearsay, isn't it?
Yeah, that's fair enough. That one thing, Harry, just to kind of circle around to what you were saying, obviously you mentioned, a couple of you now have mentioned about player sales. Now, Dara is always really keen to make sure that the press coming out of the club doesn't indicate that we're desperate to sell. He mentioned it in the Posh Plus interviews. He mentions it all the time around, you know, clubs come in and take the mick because they think that we're desperate to sell. It kind of feels like maybe that is the rhetoric that's being pushed out here, which is that we are relying on player sales to help with this debt, as you mentioned. Now, don't get me wrong, we have a lot of good assets in this squad at the moment. Obviously, Edwards is the one that everyone will think of. But, I mean, let's be honest, there's several in this team that could easily make good money for the club. But do you feel that maybe he scored a little bit of an own goal, in as much as other clubs will see all of this and go, well, they need these player sales to help with the debt side of things?
He openly said, again, this is in the spaces over the summer, that ideal place would be 9 million in revenue and 11 million in a cost base, which is then made up with player sales. Player sales don't go towards revenue, they go to other income in the accounts. So he's building a business model, and I don't think this is one that is unreasonable, where a small amount of player sales, and if you're in the Championship, 2 million really isn't very much player sales at all, are built into your business model. I don't think it necessarily means that it's an own goal. If the fact is, the debt has now been agreed as a singular figure. We won't know what has led to that point. It could well be that there are contingencies, you know, when a player is sold, maybe it'll be an X percentage has to go towards servicing the debt and nothing else. That could possibly be part of it. We will never know, and it's complete speculation. But I don't necessarily see it as an own goal, given that being Peterborough United Football Club, it's very difficult to get to a point where we're bringing in 15 million a year. We just never will, I don't think. We're not commercially big enough and we don't have a big enough gate. So a lot of other clubs are in that same situation, and we wouldn't necessarily be lowballing them on fees ourselves. You know, we've spent somewhere between £500,000 and £1 million to Exeter on Archie Collins, right? I'm sure they're the same as us. They have to sell players to keep afloat.
Maybe we just need to start selling posh aftershave. Maybe that's the key to unlocking all of this. I feel like we could probably make 15 million there. Joe, just kind of wrapping up on this, I suppose. We've spoken briefly around Jason and Randy leaving when the news broke a couple of weeks back. I think, obviously, Randy, we know, wasn't overly involved from a football side. Let's be honest, he was there for the stadium. I think most fans would agree with that. I think he would agree with that. Jason, though, I will miss in terms of his diversification of our income streams. And this is no slight on Dara, but Dara's business model, as Harry alluded to there, has always very much been that kind of buy cheap, sell expensive. That's how he's made his money. That's how he's kept the club afloat. That's fine. That works. But I've always said that I feel Jason was great at realising that there are other ways to make money for this club, such as improving the youth, such as trying to improve the commercial revenues at the club. I guess I worry, Jared, that with Jason gone, that we will revert back to plan A, which is great when it works, but has a ceiling, which we've hit three times now. Do you feel that Dara, as a solo owner, as a majority shareholder, is still in the right position to take the club forward?
I quite like him in the position he's in. Now, that's a part of the problem, I think, because he's quite heavily involved in the football side, isn't he? In regards to scouting as well, that's a huge thing for him. He enjoys that, and he's got a track record of being good at it. No one's knocking him for that. But like you say, there's other revenue streams, and I think he's alluded to in the past where Jason come in and brought a lot of, you know, other ideas in, and so did Stuart. So naturally you're going to miss that because there's only, you know, one brain thinking about it now. I know there's staff there, but you know what I mean, with actual financial interest in making it happen. So I think we will lose out in regards to that, but it's nature of the beast, isn't it? They've left now, so, well, still got the shares, but you know what I mean, it's not going to be the same as it was before. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if we still continue down that path. The stadium thing that Dan spoke about is not going to happen. Absolute pie in the sky. It's not going to happen at all. It won't happen. I think that's a part of why Jason and Stuart are no longer with us in the capacity they were before. I think they had good intentions for the club. I've always said that. Obviously, the end goal is always to make money, and that would have come through the stadium, I'd have thought. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds.
I'd be interested to know what stake they still hold in the stadium company. To be honest, it's probably something I could go look up, but I wonder whether they are completely out of that as well, because I didn't necessarily get that from Dara's Posh Plus interview. They're clearly not involved in the main club company.
Yeah, he didn't give a lot away around the details of that, did he?
Sorry, yeah, maybe they've held like an interest in the stadium just in case that, you know, the council completely changes and after the next round of council elections, we get a group who actually do want a new stadium in the centre of the city. Mm-hmm. And then they could maybe get their money back that way. Because if you could tear down London Road and turn it into apartments, and it would make far more than it does now. Like,
which was always the plan, wasn't it?
Let's be honest. Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure that was probably... I don't know why they'd necessarily walk away from that if there's a chance of it happening in the future. Yeah,
it just feels, I mean, you know, certainly with Jason, I know that we had perhaps a strained relationship towards the end, but it does feel like a bit of a bad breakup, in as much as it's maybe, you know, it's the right thing to do, but it still hurts a little bit. I feel like Jason will be a bigger loss maybe than some of the fan base are realising. Now, here's the one for you. Randy and Jason, potential yellow block Hall of Famers. I've got some justification behind this. Jason, so he's been on the show a few times, and we did have a good relationship with him for the majority of his time at the club. Randy, obviously been on the show as well. He pushed for the yellow block in the new stadium, and we do still have a good relationship with Randy to this date. Could we get either of those inducted into the prestigious Yellow Block Hall of Fame? Now, we need a majority vote by the host, so watch this space. That vote will be taking place between now and the new year. So in 2024, we will bring you the outcome of that. Will Jason and or Randy make it into the Yellow Block Hall of Fame? Dan, you screwed up your face. I'm guessing your initial thought is no.
I'll be honest with you, Tim. I prefer not to speak. If I speak, I'm in big trouble. So I prefer not to speak.
Don't know what you mean. Jared, does it feel like something that you could back?
Potentially. I think they did a decent job. I've got a lot of respect for Stuart for reasons I'm not going to say. So, yeah, we'll see. Let's see what happens. But, yeah, I'd back them.
Some comments on the statement that came from the club as well as the Athletic article. Emerald Posh says, this is far from over, but good to see we've taken a positive step and communicated it in the right way. Jazz Photography says, Dara is just the best owner a club could ask for. He's never stopped trying to achieve the best things for the club, even when things start to get tough. No wonder other clubs' fans idolise him and want him at their club. Even when he eventually leaves, he'll still be a Posh fan. And Seamus Walker says, a very interesting article. It's good to see that DMAC and Posh were not at fault. Sorry that it happened, but please, the club are moving forward through it. There's a lot of politics involved, isn't there, in this kind of thing. But politics has also made its way onto the Posh hemisphere this week. Somebody appears to have used Cameo to get a message through from a certain divisive Nigel Farage. Just have a quick listen to this.
Up with the Posh and down with Cambridge. And Ricky J. Jones is the second coming of the Messiah.
So there we go. So it doesn't matter what your views on Nigel Farage are. He's clearly fine. I mean, say it, but I'll take that. This came out of nowhere, and credit to the people that did it because it gave us all a good laugh at a time when maybe we knew. Yes, and Nigel Farage down with Cambridge. And Ricky J. Jones is the incoming of Messiah, which is good. On the pitch, then, it's been another good week. Tough game away at Fleetwood. Those of us that were on the pod last time, unanimously said this would be a tough one. Fleetwood 0, Posh 1. This was the most 1-0 I've probably ever seen. It could have been 4 or 5 by half time, if I'm honest. Dominating performance. Randall missed least, I would say, a hat trick. Archie Collins scored an absolute belter, and Bilo came good with a couple of good saves towards the back end of this one. Dan, what was your summary of Fleetwood away?
I thought it was a good performance. You know, Fleetwood is typically not a stadium we do well at. So to come away with 3 points from that game, I'm very happy with. You know, their keeper had an absolute blinder, pulled off like 5 or 6 incredible saves. I could say to come away with 3 points in a stadium that we don't do well at. You know, typically Northwest games just suck for us, and they're doing quite well for us at the moment. You know, obviously Blackpool and Bolton come to mind. You know, we're in a really good stand at the moment in terms of position and results around us, and long may that continue.
Yeah, a couple of stats, Harry, caught my eye. I'll throw this to you because Jared doesn't like stats, but 73% possession, 646 passes versus Fleetwood's 242, and a pass accuracy of 89%. It was, bar the last, let's say, 10-15 minutes, a really well-rounded, dominating performance, and realistically should have been more than one.
Yeah, I remember the days when we last had a manager who obsessed about number of passes in a game. Anyone remember what Graham Wesley wanted us to do per game in terms of passes? Anyone remember the in one of his first interviews what he said?
Was it around 1,000?
He wanted 500 in a game, and we're now hitting 640 in a game. You know,
Wesley ball. That's it. We're playing Wesley ball. That's
beyond this is. Wesley ball. We've transcended Wesley ball. Wesley ball. We're in Fergie four ball. Yeah, I mean, it was unstoppable object meeting an unstoppable force meeting a very movable object in Fleetwood, who have looked pretty dire. 4 wins and 4 draws all season for them, and that is it. I mean, it's not surprising. Their keeper made some incredible saves. I was happy to see Bilo make a number of good saves as well, especially towards the end. And just an all-round dominant performance. It's not a lot to be said. It's not nice and clean. Obviously, we'd have hoped they didn't have any chances at the end, but we managed it. Keeper did his job when he needed to, so it's great.
Yeah, I don't feel like we ever looked threatened, really. I know Bilo made a couple of good saves, but I always felt like we were going to hold on to that win, and that's very unposh-like. Jared, this was a good win, and it is one of those ones where we'll look back and say, you know, that was a season-defining moment. But, I mean, credit to, you know, we've touched on Bilo, but credit to the defence. It's another clean sheet. You know, these clean sheets are just coming faster and faster now. This feels like a team that's becoming, as Harry said there, a real, you know, powerhouse in terms of, it doesn't matter who we play, tactically we can adapt to that situation.
Yeah, 100%. I was talking to a friend the other day, not one of you lot, before you picked me out on that again. And we were comparing it to teams of old who have gone up. And, you know, I was looking at man to man. I'm starting to think, you know, I think this team's better almost. We've always been weak defensively. Midfield, you've always had like maybe one good player. And then obviously attacking players we've always had. But we seem to have a bit of everything at the minute. The keeper, some argue would say, is still questionable, but he's been solid recently. The defence, I really like. The midfield, again, them two, Kipriano and Collins, is unbelievable. And the way we go forward attacking is something else. I'm absolutely loving watching us play football this season. And I wasn't expecting it. I think that's why I'm probably enjoying it a little bit more, because I know everyone downplayed it at the start of the season, but I think we all thought we certainly wouldn't be doing this. And now we're second. I can honestly see, as I speak now, on the 18th of December, us winning the league. I know it sounds, I almost feel like my Highland Springs has got something funny in it, but I really do feel like we could go on and just go on a hell of a run and win the league. I really do. So yeah, let's hope it happens.
Yeah, I don't think you're a million miles off, and actually the figures back this up. So most goals scored in the league, it's posh. Highest XG, which I know you're a fan of, Jared, it's posh. Average possession percentage, it's posh. Fewest goals against. We get onto these defensive stats now, which is where we're normally nowhere to be seen. Fewest goals against, we're joint second. And lowest XG against, we're second only to Derby. So the figures are backing up what you're saying, Jared.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the only asterisk I'd attach to that is January. I've said it from the start. It scares me. You could say the way we're playing football, Ronnie, would he change that? Possibly, because he starts a lot of the play, doesn't he? And he does have a calming influence at the back. So, yeah, it's worrying. I think Jono, he's going to leave. I've got no issue with that whatsoever. Ronnie Edwards, obviously no issue with it, but it is a problem for us. I just hope we don't completely give in and sell a Mason Clark or a Poku, Kipriano, someone like that. I think that'd just be disastrous. We're expecting them two to leave. It's just the effect that has on us, you know, post-January.
Yeah, I think alongside January, there's still, I know we've said it before, issues around maybe around squad depth. So a couple of injuries and suspensions, and I feel like the landscape could change slightly. In terms of the table, we've moved into the automatics now. So we are second. Pompey remain top on 48 points. Posh second on 41 points. Oxford third on 40 points. And what's really interesting now is that it's only Bolton. We've kind of all played the similar sort of games now, whereas for the last few weeks, teams have had games in hand. It's only Bolton now that can leapfrog us if they win their game in hand. And they're not in great form, let's be honest. Oxford, Stevenage, Bolton and Derby make up the playoffs. Derby, I feel, are probably the ones that might go on a bit of a run, looking at the form of the others. I mean, you've got to be happy, Dan. Well, I say you've got to be happy, Dan. It's Dan, isn't it? But surely even you're defrosted into this posh side.
Look, I'm very happy with where we are, and our results are you know, trickling along very nicely. On the pitch, we're getting clean sheets, which, you know, has been a struggle in the last couple of years. And as a whole, this team looks fantastic. However, you know, got to look at the negative side, otherwise it wouldn't be me. I'm very much on board with what Jared says. You know, January has, you know, that little sort of nag in the back of my head saying, you know, what if we lose this player or that player or this player? You know, I've got it in my head that Josh Knight's probably on his way out, you know, just because he was trying to get out in the latter parts of the window last time. And, you know, as far as I'm aware, he's not got that contract sorted either. So, you know, unless that changes, potentially he's out, because the club will like to make money off players rather than let them go for free. Jono, yeah, like you say, we know he's gone. it's not a major issue anymore. You know, obviously Ricky J. Jones started scoring goals. Don't know what's happened. He must have changed his boots. What a guy. But, you know, Jono potentially frees up quite a lot of wages. So, you know, maybe we'd look to get another loan player in and maybe sign Kyoso on a permanent. Please, please, please sign Kyoso on a permanent. I don't want to be making predictions for the end of the season now when we've got a massive 6 weeks ahead of us. You know, we've got, what is it, 8 games to play in the next 6 weeks and, you know, 31 days where the entire landscape of the club can be changed by the potential 3-4 player losses that we'll suffer. So,
yeah, it's interesting. And obviously, we've got Barnsley and Derby back-to-back to come as well over the next couple of weeks. Kyoso is a player that we've talked about a lot this season, Harry, and this kind of will he be recalled and all this in January. But I came across a really interesting conversation on X the other day between some Rotherham fans basically talking about Kyoso and how he's made it clear that he doesn't want to be at the club. So what's the benefit to recalling him if he doesn't want to be there? Do you feel like that might feed into this in terms of will he become our player? Will he just see out his loan for the rest of the season? Where do you stand on Kyoso?
Well, for us, it's, you know, consensus, no-brainer. It would be amazing if we could sign him permanently. He clearly loves the club. There's a lot intangible to what he does for our side. You know, he inspires others to perform. Poku feels more confident bombing forward because he's got Kyoso behind him. The other midfield players know that they've got a strong option to pass out to the right and out to the left as well. Burrow's done really well, but Kyoso coming in the way that he has, to be made club captain as a lone player, is just says it all in and of itself. But, big but, if Rotherham want their man back and if there is a recall clause, then they'll take it. And they know full well that he's a professional guy, clearly. He will just suck it up and he will play for them. I seem to remember that, in fact, I'm going to look it up now, but Rotherham are what? Languishing? They are, yeah, they're 24th. They are 9 points shy of safety. And they may well think, look, this is a guy who's doing well at the top of League One. We may as well get a player in who's clearly good enough and could probably help us reinvigorate our attacks down the right for our own club. Why have Peterborough doing it for us? And there's clearly no chance, in my opinion. I don't think Dara is bluffing on this. If he says that we're not going to sign Kyoso, then we're not going to sign Kyoso because clearly he's just too expensive. Rotherham won't let him go. So I think we should be preparing for the worst. I could see him being recalled in January, even though he's made it clear he doesn't want to go. And Rotherham know he'll suck it up and play his best for them until his contract's up.
Yeah, it's interesting because he liked a message on tweet. Somebody had one of the like pages that puts out stats about Posh, about football club, sorry, did one about, you know, this amazing run of form that we're on. And he initially quote tweeted it, then deleted it and just liked it. And the quote tweet initially said, just getting started with a flame emoji. It's interesting. I thought that, you know, and that was kind of put out and then deleted. It's a difficult one with Kyoso. Just a brainwave though, Harry. Weren't Rotherham interested in JCH? Maybe we could, you know, send him north and Kyoso can stay south.
It would be great. I think that would be a genius move. I don't think that will happen either, because I'm pretty sure JCH wants to move back to the Somerset, the West Country.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know he wants to get down that way, but, you know, they need a striker. They're clearly struggling for goals, you know. Got a league, 2 times League One Golden Boot winner. Well, you have him. Do you know what?
Quick factoid on that, because I've just looked it up as well. Don't give me the name of the player who's the top scorer for Rotherham, but how many goals their top scorer scored this season?
3.
It is 3.
Font of all knowledge. Font of all Rotherham knowledge.
They clearly need a striker. You are right. Sorry for interjecting.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I feel like, you know, we could do him a deal here. It's like, you know, you take this 2 times League One winner, you can have him. It's fine. It's not a problem. We'll do you a favour. And we'll just hold on to your young right back that you didn't want and that, you know, doesn't want to play for you. It feels like a, you know, we'll do you a favour. It's not a problem. I feel like we could find a way to make this happen. But we do need to stop, as a fan base, we do need to stop falling in love with loan players. This happens every year where we fall in love with a loan player and then harass Dara to go out and buy them. Isn't realistically never going to happen. And then we rinse.
It works with Smodics.
Rinse and repeat the following season. Yeah. Oh, who is absolutely boss in the championship now, to be fair. Harry, just kind of wrapping up on Fleetwood and where we are as a club at the moment. I would say, are you happy with where we are at this stage of the season? But that feels like an obvious question to ask. I suppose, you know, Jared and Dan have mentioned around January. Do you think we can sustain it? Do you think we can hold this position?
I don't know if this goes out with video, but if it's just audio, Dan is shaking his head, and I'm completely with Dan. Last time I came on this pod, I said that we finished 14th, and the last time I predicted it on the spaces that we did a few weeks ago before the Cambridge game, I said that I now think we're going to finish 8th. I'm going to stick with 8th. I think we should not underestimate how much of a force Ronnie is. He builds everything out for us, and losing him will have far more of an effect on us than we can conceive of yet. And all it'll take is a couple of injuries, especially to someone like Kyprianou or Collins, where Fuchs or de Havilland has to pick up the slack. And neither of them, I mean, clearly Fuchs is not a, you know, string multiple passes together kind of guy. He's a defensive enforcer. And de Havilland, I think he's still finding his feet at League One level. And with games like Barnsley, Derby, Charlton. Barnsley's in December, but we've got a tough month coming up, and I think it'll be a month of flux with players going in and out or having speculation on them. And yeah, as you've also mentioned, I don't know if it was Jared or Dan, but yeah, there's the risk of other players as well going, like Knight or even Poker or Mason Clark, if big bids come in. And yeah, with that all in mind, I think that we will see no collapse. I'm not expecting that, but there'll be draws where there would have been wins before. There'll be losses where we might have snuck a draw, and it will just fade away, in my opinion. But I'd love to be wrong. I've been wrong all season so far.
Yeah, I think most of us have. I mean, there's no doubt it's a big month off the pitch coming up. On the pitch, these are our fixtures in January. Away at Derby, home to Crawley, away to Charlton, home to Shrewsbury, and away to Lincoln. So it's a challenging month. Obviously, we've got the cup game with Leeds to come as well. That'll fall in January, I believe. So, you know, we've got another big month coming up. Quick break, and then we'll look ahead to our next league game, which is Shrewsbury away. Dabbed myself there for a second.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Sure, it's be away then. So if this goes our way and Pompey lose, we could go 4 points off top. Our record against Shrewsbury, or Shrewsbury, depending on which part of the country you're from, 1-22, drawn 18, lost 21. We have played them in 2023. We played them at the back end of last season when we went on a run away, won 3-0 in that game. There is the definition of a mid-table team. They're quite literally mid-table. They seem to win one, lose one, draw one, rinse and repeat. I mean, what do we expect from this, Dan, in terms of Shrewsbury? I mean, it's a team we should be beating on paper.
You know, the bookies have us something like 4-7 on, which, you know, is pretty remarkable for an away team in our league. And I would probably echo that, to be honest. I think, you know, in the form that we're in, we're scoring for fun. You know, the team looks very happy and solid together. I think it's very unlikely that we come away with anything but a win. Now, I said unlikely. I'm probably going to live to regret that word because, you know, it's very Peterborough-like to have this incredible run and incredible sort of, you know, goal scoring form and then go to Shrewsbury and nil nil. So obviously, you know, bit of a pinch of salt. Obviously, we've got Reading on Boxing Day as well that we need to be aware of, but I think 2-0 win.
Fair enough. We'll come to predictions shortly, but Jared, the Shrewsbury game, they are mid-table, but interestingly, they just don't score goals. It's only Cheltenham that have scored less goals than them, and obviously we know that Cheltenham are rock bottom. They've only scored 13 goals all season, Shrewsbury. We score that in two games, feels like, at the minute. What are you expecting from this one?
Yeah, I think we'll have too much from a sound arrogant as hell on this podcast tonight. But like I say, I'm just on cloud nine, absolutely loving it. And I think, we'll come to predictions. But yeah, I think it'll be a comfortable win.
Harry, you are our Be the Manager host for this one. So you are on the touchline. Are you changing anything formation-wise? What's your game plan? How are you approaching this one?
I am going to be incredibly boring and say that I will stick with the exact same 11 that appears to be more or less ever present, unless there's an injury or a suspension. And the 4-2-3-1, the back four, Kyoso Edwards, Knight and Burrows, you've got Collins and Kyprianou sitting in front of them, and Mason Clark, Randall Poku and Ricky J. Jones. I mean, if I were to, maybe just to extend on it, if I were to make a change, or if there were a change to be enforced, you know, I still think Clark Harris could come in and do a job. And if it ends up being a tougher game where Shrewsbury sit deep and Ricky can't get in behind, then there's no problem bringing in JCH to do a bit of blunt force trauma to them, just throwing his weight around and hoping to get a poacher's goal.
I feel like the only thing to be mindful of, I guess, Harry, is the fact that we play Shrewsbury Saturday. We then only have 2 days off before we play Reading on Boxing Day. And then there's only 2 days off after that before we play Barnsley at home. So we've got three games in, less than a week. Does that feed into your, he's still remaining unchanged, bearing in mind you'd like to think we'd have too much for Reading, but obviously you're trying to keep your players fresh?
Absolutely fair question, fair challenge. I mean, I think you've just got to stick with it until it breaks through muscular injuries, just through fatigue, and then you make those changes as they are forced to arise. I think it's difficult, you know, with the exception of maybe Ajiboy for Poku being the most obvious, take one out, bring another one in, who does a very similar role. As I alluded to earlier, De Havilland and Fuchs are very different midfielders to Kyprianou and Collins. And it's likewise with any of our other players. Sturge is very different to Burrows. Katongo is very different to Knight. So you've got to think about how that affects the team tactically. I think you're almost better off just sticking with it until you have to make a change, rather than trying to think, okay, if I'm swapping out four or five players, what am I going for? Just with the thought of trying to maintain freshness, you might overthink it that way.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Prediction League update for your squadron leader, Jetwash, remains out top on 17 points. Dell is second on 14, and then Carl Irvine makes up the top three on 13 points. In terms of the host table, I would just like to point out at this point, I still hold the lead with 10 points. Joint second is producer Danny and Sam. And you should all be ashamed of yourself, because producer Danny doesn't even support Peterborough United. And yet he's in the top 10 overall, and he's joint second in the host table. Dan, you're fourth with 7 points. Jared, you are fifth with four. And Nathan is rock bottom with one. Now, to be fair, Nathan is a self-confessed two-team Tony, like many posh fans are, to be fair to him. But now that we know he's a two-team Tony and we're trying to think of forfeit, should he lose? I wonder, now that we've seen the Manchester United Clippers, if perhaps he should be looking to shave his head with said Clippers, Jared, if he does finish rock bottom.
I think that's a fair punishment for any of us, to be fair. If we lose, maybe a skinhead is what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely safe. Whilst you've got your crackly mic, Jared, what was your prediction for the Shrewsbury game?
2-0 posh.
Harry, your prediction for this one?
I'm going to be really unnecessarily arrogant. I'll go with 6-0 posh.
Oh, where's that come from? 6-0. I mean, fair enough.
Yeah, Dan, I'm feeling it.
Fair enough. Dan, you did tell me about, I can't remember what you said. What was your prediction for this one?
It's 2-0 for me on this one.
All right. I'm throwing in a... I'm going to do what I did with Fleetwood. Thankfully, was proved wrong. I'm going 0-0 away at Shrewsbury. I feel like this is where we start to drop a couple of points, which is fine. They'll happen across the season. Tough team to score against, but they don't score either. So for me, it's a 0-0. Second game then, after the big man has emptied his sack on your floor. Boxing Day, we are at home at London Road to Reading, who are in all sorts of issues. Now, our record against Reading is not wonderful. Played 18, drawn 15, lost 19. Our last meeting was... back in August, of course, first game of the season, where we won 1-0 away at the, it's not the Majestic anymore, is it? Is it the Car Leasing Stadium, whatever it's called nowadays? First game of the season, won 1-0. They are 23rd in the league. They are having a tough time of it, it's fair to say. With that in mind, Dan, do you think this is the one where you perhaps rotate your squad a bit?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, obviously, in an ideal world, you would have the Reading game this Saturday and Shrewsbury on Boxing Day, and you could probably make more changes for that Shrewsbury game. But, you know, we don't live in an ideal world. We live in this one, and, you know, we have to suffer through what we get. Now, I think it's important to note that, yes, this is in 23rd, but they have had a fair few points deductions. So, you know, probably not a fair reflection of how well they're doing this season. But I'd like to think that we've still got enough to get the win. Obviously, we played them first game of the season earlier on in August, and you know that was probably when we were at our worst overall this season. You know, since then we've kicked on quite well, and especially in the last sort of 2 months, we're playing very, very well. So, you know, I think with us in the form that we're in, we should have enough to win that game, and if we don't, it will probably be a crying shame. But it's a big stadium, it's a big atmosphere to go into, so you know, let's see how well we do.
It's a big stadium, it's a big atmosphere, you know, it's a home game, right?
Oh Christ, I thought it was an away game. Oh, do you know what, I've had it in my calendar as an away game.
That you're actually,
well, all right, let me rewind 30 seconds. It's a tin pot stadium, it's absolutely tiny. So, you know, to go into that shed with our team and the way we are, I still think we've got enough to beat them, really. That's terrible for me. Yeah,
it is what it is. You know, it's fine. I mean, you talked about
it's
how
good. You said something about the Car Leasing Stadium.
It is. It's my
that,
place.
That affirmed it in my head. I was like, oh yeah, it's the away game. Ah, oh, right. Yeah, sound.
Yeah, I'll take the blame, Dan. It's fine. Jared, how do you see the Reading game going, which is at home in Peterborough in Cambridgeshire?
It is. It is at home, and I think it's like, is it 4 games in 9 days altogether? It's going to be very, very hectic. I think we will drop points within that time. I think this will probably be the game that we do. Players will be full of turkey, although I don't know why. Why do we eat it at Christmas? Because it's shit. It's so dry. Nobody likes it, but there we are. We've all got it for Christmas.
Is that my ex?
You would, because you're a very depressed man. I think 2-2, I think.
I didn't ask for your score. I asked how you thought, you know, this was going to play.
Oh, well, there you are. Well, that's how I think. I think it'll be a draw. I think we'll probably, go ahead and then they'll put it back and it'll finish 2-2, Tim.
I can't see Reading scoring twice at Posh, which is where the game is. It's not in Reading. So I can't see them scoring. But, you know, Jared, it's your prediction. This is why you are.
I've just said we're going to win the league. So I'm just trying to, like, level things out a little bit.
Well, this is why you are one off the bottom in the prediction league, to be fair.
I've won 3 awards.
Yeah. Stands for nothing. You're only as good as your last season. Harry, Reading at home is, I mean, on paper is a tough game, but I mean, you'd like to feel like this is a winnable game based on how their form's playing out.
Yeah, well, I was at the opening game of the season, which was the away game, and we won 1-0. And it was pretty tough. They're a physical side, or at least they were with Andy Carroll up top, who is obviously left now. They could have been 3-0 up within 10 minutes, and big Bilakapic made 3 massive saves. And frankly, our goal was a bit of a fluke. It was crossed over. Mason Clark somehow headed it, looping over their keeper. And we didn't really threaten that much the rest of the game. Although we did hold them off. They weren't, you know, knocking down the door. So it could end up being, as you guys have alluded to, a physical game that because we're tired, we struggle to keep up with. So yeah, I completely agree there's a risk of us losing. But I think we'll win because compared to back then, they've had this four-point deduction. They've lost Andy Carroll. They are throwing tennis balls on the pitch every chance they get. They hate their owner. They're in the relegation zone. I think that their players will be not even fighting for a move in January. They'll just be praying that it comes and they're not really going to be able to put up a fight. I think it'll be I think it'll be one that we do well in. It'll be after that that we start to struggle with the tiredness, in my opinion.
Yeah, fair enough. What's your score prediction for this one then, Harry?
I will go with 2-0 Posh.
2-0 Posh. Jared says 2-2. Dan?
Okay, so remind me, this one's away from home?
It's right. It's away from home. This is being played at a neutral venue.
And just to backtrack, Andy Carroll still plays for Reading. Is that correct?
Yeah, Reading are in the Premiership still.
Okay, so we're living firmly in the past. Fantastic. Okay, well, with that in mind, then no.
Steve Coppell's the manager as well.
Like, I made a mistake. You don't have to bring it up. God, this is the top knot all over again. I think we'll have enough. I think it'll be close, much closer than the Shrewsbury game. I'm going to say 1-0. It's going to be a scrappy one. We'll have a little bit of a repeat, but I do think we will win.
Yeah, I'm gonna copy and paste that. I feel like this will be a 1-0 win. Anyone wanting to use their triple chip this game week? Are we all anyone feeling overly confident? No, Jared, shake their head.
Can we remind the viewers of what the triple chip is?
Yeah, so this is you can use between now and the end of the season. You've got one triple chip to use. Basically, Dan didn't listen to the last episode and wants to know what this is. Between now and the end of the season, you can use your triple chip one game week, where basically the points that you accrue in that for that prediction will be tripled should it come to fruition. You get points for predicting the outcome of the game, and then also 3 points if you correctly predict the score. It's potentially nine up for grabs.
Well, this is what I was going to say. You know, if we were to, for instance, use the triple chip on Boxing Day, what is classed as that game week? Are we talking
specifically
the Reading game?
Yeah,
right. Because you know, technically, it's a week and then it's three games. You know, so it would make sense.
Spot the legal representative. Spot the legally trained person in the group.
you said week. You know, that's 7 days where I come from.
All right, well, match then. Which match do you want to use your triple? Do you want to use your
triple? I don't want to use mine. No, thank you very much.
Sensational. I'm glad that we had that conversation. In other business, Cambridge United have released a book of their greatest moments. I don't know if any of you have seen this. This could also be just in time for Christmas as well. Apparently, it's printed on the back of a bus ticket as well. So that's quite interesting. Any other business that anyone would like to cover before we wrap up for Christmas?
No. I'd like to hear your opinions more, though, Tim. I want to hear your take on things a lot more.
Anything in particular, Jared? Because there's a reason that I've stayed on the fence for this episode.
No, I don't think you should, though. I think, obviously, you've got a lead with us, but I do think we should. I was tempted a couple of times. I thought, no, is he holding back for a reason? So I didn't ask you, but yeah.
Anything in particular you want to know? You want to know what my thoughts of Christmas are? Or
no, I'd like to know I'd like to know your thoughts on what you made of the statement from the club in the week, like we've all been talking about. The last hour and 6 minutes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I echo what you guys said. I think it's really important that whatever our opinion is and whatever we do and say, there's two things. One is that we accept that we don't have all the information available, which you guys alluded to. And that is important because we're forming an opinion based on what we have available to us. And it's also really important that we don't lose sight, I think, of what Dara has done for the club to get us to this point, because it's very easy, if you are Dara out or anti-Dara, to disregard that. You know, he picked us up from a time when we were really, really poor, and he's turned us into a team that's playing incredible football. It's fantastic to watch this season. But I don't buy all of the charm necessarily that we're getting from Dara. He's very, very good at communicating, like incredibly good at communicating. He knows how to make people tick. He knows what to say and when to say it and how to say it. And that is why I feel like it's important that we don't get sucked into that too much. It's great news in terms of the fact there looks to be a bit more stability, but I'm also acutely aware that there is more to this story than we're aware of, and there is a second side of the story, and I would like to know the other side of that story before we can formulate a complete opinion. I don't think that it is all as one-sided as what has necessarily been portrayed to us. And that's purely just an opinion based on the little tidbits that we get. And obviously, you know, we're in a privileged position that we maybe get a little bit more perhaps than other people, but the truth will out, the other side of the story will out. We're actively working on trying to make that happen. So I suppose I'm trying to sort of be on the fence, but also say that let's just not get carried away too much. It's good news that there's that stability, but I'm still cautious because there's been a few issues around Dara's ownership before, and I don't want to kind of just get suckered all back into the world is great and then find ourselves disappointed again if those issues resurface, I suppose, is maybe where I'm at. I don't know if that answers your question, Jared, but that's kind of...
It was very well done, Tim. I'll give you that.
Well, you know, allegedly, I don't want to land us in trouble like
again. But
yeah, no. The thing is, I mean, look, people know my views on Dara. I would be wrong of me to say I've not warmed to him over the last few months. But it's easy to when everything's going well, right? I mean, this is some of the best football we've seen. You know, we've got a great, great squad. It's impossible not to be endeared to somebody when that's happening. And I do truly believe that he wants what's best for the club. I think maybe before I've been maybe insinuated that that isn't the case, but I do think he wants what's best for the club. My concern is, and I suppose it's maybe, I suppose, shown by the fact he's having to get funding in from elsewhere. My concern is that he cannot afford to take this club forward. He's not in a position of stability to be able to grow this club now, to be able to take the club to the next step. And that doesn't disregard the fantastic work he's done up to this point. I'm just not sure he's in the right position to take us to that next stage.
Do you know what intrigues me though, which is bizarre because it's happened so many times and the answer's always been the same, but I want to see Darren and Dara in the Championship again, just to see, surely they wouldn't, I know we've got financial constraints and things like that, but surely they wouldn't do it the same. I know Dan, you're shaking your head saying they would, but I don't know. I don't buy that Darren Ferguson is a good manager only in League One. I really don't have that. Football is football. I know there's obviously levels to it, but I just don't think he's had the right club at that level. I'm not saying that we are, but I don't know. I would like to see them both at that level again and just to see if it was rinse and repeat or... should something else happen? I don't know. I've got a funny feeling.
Yeah, but I think this is what I mean around that kind of Dara's ceiling potential. I think it would happen again. It would be the same because we don't have the financial impetus to be able to take the next step. And look, I'm a realist. I understand that the fans, the attendance that we bring in will only sustain so much. And I was having a debate with somebody the other day who's not a posh fan, and he was basically saying, oh, I should be, you know, this should be like the best time of supporting the club and we should be on cloud nine all the time and we've got this amazing owner and we need to realise where we are. We're not a Championship team. And I get all of that, but I think I can be a realist but also try and be optimistic about the future. And I suppose that's where the concern comes. It's kind of like once bitten, three times burnt in this case in the Championship, because we go up with an expectation that's fed to us and we never get near to that. I said this when Jason and Randy came in, I'm not against Dara staying. I don't feel like he's individually can take this club to the next step. Now, as he's got older, I do think he's got less stubborn, which is only going to serve the club well. But yeah, I don't. I mean, Dan, you're a similar ilk. If we got promoted, I don't think things would be any different to previous times.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it would be rinse and repeat all over again. You know, they showed, and again, this is my opinion, but they showed a complete lack of desire to even give it a proper go the last time round. You know, we went.
You say that just interrupt you, Dan. You say that, but I remember doing the podcast in the summer when we went up, and we was all quite impressed with the signings that we made, yeah. And we all said that. Hang on, I think we're giving a bit of a shot here.
Yeah, and we all saw how that worked out. I mean, from God, what was it like December to March or something? We went on a three, nearly 4 month losing streak where we got maybe 5 points out of a possible 40 or something stupid like that. And, you know, we never sacked Ferguson. He had to take himself out of that role for us to move on because the owners weren't willing to do it. They, you know, said, oh, well, you know, no matter what happens, we want him to be back in charge in League One. Well, they got that, you know, they had to go the long way around it and get Grant McCann in for a little, you know, stopholder in the meantime, but you know, they got what they wanted, and I'm not necessarily saying that it's worked out badly for us in terms of a potential return to the Championship. You know, we got very close last year, it's looking like we'll be very close this year, if not there. The problem is that when we get to the Championship, there doesn't seem to be the planning in place for us to make a proper go of it, because despite what we think about the team, despite what we think about the levels, it is abundantly clear, and the gap is only getting more and more, you know, obvious. There is a very clear divide between the quality of League One and the quality of the Championship, and even more so the Championship to the Premier League. You know, teams like Plymouth go up and they give it a good go, and they're doing very well. 100% they're doing very well. They've got a very good manager, they've got good following, and they've not spent a lot of money, but the players have adapted very well to that league. You give that on the flip side to Sheffield. Sheffield Wednesday had the highest points total in League One history to not be automatically promoted. And they've gone up. Yes, they had a change of manager, but the squad majoritively stayed the same. And they were abysmal for the first 20-odd games. You know, it's only now they've changed the manager that they've started picking up results, but they still find themselves in the relegation zone, and they're still probably going to end up getting relegated. You know, until we have the financial ability, which will probably never happen, to complete in the Championship, we're never going to be the team that competes, the team that stays up more than one season and you know, potentially gets lucky. And I'm not necessarily putting the blame on Darren or Dara. I'm just saying that, you know, it would be nice to have a different approach. And yes, that approach might fail just as badly as going up with Darren. It probably will be the case. But at least we tried something new. But, you know, going up with the same mentality and the same tactics, it's not working. We've done it three times. We've been relegated three times.
Well, cheers, Dan. Now I don't even see the point in getting promoted. Might as well not bother.
We did stay up once, though. We finished 18th.
We did, yeah. But actually, like, I mean, obviously we're, you know, kind of, we've done the League One journey many a time. We know how League One works, but we've tried something different this year. And look at how it's working, right? We're playing some of the best.
There's just some of them players in the lineup I'd like to see in the Championship to see what they could do. I'm not saying we'd go and spend, you know, 3 or 4 million on players and getting them in the door and who've got Championship experience. That's not going to happen. We know that. But I think it's because we've gone up so many times and failed so many times with Darren. I would like to see what they would do. Because remember the article Fergie did, I can't remember who it was with, but it was a really interesting one about doing the same again, basically, in the Championship, and that we didn't learn our lessons. I would like to see what they would do, because if all of us, we think it'd be the same, I get that, but surely there'd be a plan in place to do something drastically different. But I suppose we'll see in the summer, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Well, certainly if we carry on the way we're going. I mean, it is a difficult one, because, you know, well, but I personally feel like it would be the same. And I suppose you get to the point, I know we're focusing specifically on Darry, I suppose you kind of get to the point where it's like, and I'm not suggesting he doesn't, this is just a rhetorical question, does Dara want to sustain Peterborough in the Championship? Is it in his interests to sustain us as a Championship club versus being a League One club, when we know that his business model and his business ethos is buy young, sell for a lot of money? Can you do that in the Championship competitively? Probably not. The likes of Mason Clark, Poku, would they shine and increase their value in the Championship if we're 23rd, 24th? No, because they wouldn't get the freedom that they do in League One to be able to go forward and do their thing. I don't know. I'm just spitballing. I'm not suggesting that he has that kind of... I'm trying to think of reasons why we don't change anything when we go up. And maybe that's one, because it's not in our interest to.
See, for me, and I see your point of view there, for me, I see it in two prongs. In terms of the way the club currently operates and sustainability, in terms of, you know, having the ability to compete in League One every season, absolutely it's not in Darrow's interest, because like you say, he wouldn't be able to employ the same tactic. We wouldn't be able to buy young because we'd be paying too much and potentially the downside would be too high. You know, but on the flip side, with, you know, what we were speaking about earlier in mind, in terms of, you know, the original plan with the Canadians, the way I saw it, and Tim, I think you agree, was a succession plan. I think if Darrow wants a reasonable succession plan where he gets the value that he sees Peterborough at out of the club again, he needs to sustain us in the Championship, because I don't think we're going to get a buyer, especially not one with big pockets, unless we are Championship or, you know, borderline, like, you know, established Championship club, you know, until we've been there a couple of seasons, you know, and we've got a plan. If we're teetering on the relegation zone or you know, can't even get there, I just don't see this club as sellable.
Yeah. What a can of worms you open there, Jared, asking for my opinion. This is why you were three times host of the season, because you have that ability to create that conversation, you see?
Absolutely. I think we're all fucked now, though. It's time to go to bed.
Yeah, indeed it is. Well, thanks very much for your time this evening, fellas. And from everyone at the Yellow Block, do have a wonderful Christmas. We will be back just after the Boxing Day game to preview the games going into New Year. Hopefully Santa empties his sack and makes everyone happy this time next week. Merry Christmas and up the cost.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.